And so I've entitled today's message, How Do We Speak in Love and Avoid Damaging Relationships? I love people. Does anyone else love people here? Sometimes you might say, sometimes I love people. Okay, I do. You know, whenever I think of jobs, I would do, whenever I was younger and you did those those careers tests we got given at school, always people-centered jobs came out for me, okay? Being around people. I'm an introvert, but I love people. And I always rotate to those sort of jobs. But I got to confess with you, people also frustrate me so much, don't they? Don't you wish everyone was like you? Actually, no, okay, you don't really want that, do you? Some of you really don't want that, actually. And you know, you can make your best plans, you can make your best targets, however, people mess them up. You know, I've recently started a coaching course about leadership development, and we were talking about targets in our own lives and goals in our own lives. And I just put my hand up and I said, problem with all my goals is that people mess them up before I get there. And sometimes, because people are people, aren't they? We all do the same probably to other people as well. You know, your house would be immaculate if it wasn't for your family. If you got kids, you know what I'm talking about. Church would be amazing if it wasn't for the grumpy people who sit next to you. Theme parks would be incredible if it wasn't for the people queuing. The roads would be so much better if you were the only one driving on them and no one else was cutting you up. The problem is, a lot of us, I'm sure you're like me, you love people, but you also dislike people at the same time and get frustrated by them. Someone described ministry last week as blessings and battles. And I thought, well, that's kind of true, isn't it? But I think a lot of life is like blessings and battles. And people are like blessings and battles. And there's two little verses that are hidden away in the book of James. And they are a challenge for us as a church and as Christians of how do we deal with people who become battles and no longer blessings in our lives. And it could be so easy because we kind of, the way we can sometimes deal with them. And that, so I'm going to quickly head to the verse. If you're following in your Bible, I've got, this is James chapter 4 this time, for all of you who noticed me a couple of weeks ago. So turn with James chapter 4, verses 11 to 12. And this is what it says. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister judges them and speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? I find this verse really, really challenging. It's a real challenge to me, and especially that last question there, where James asks this question. He says, who are you to judge your neighbor? Because let's be real, we quite like judging people, don't we? Some of you are going, no, I never judge anyone. Hey, I know you really. And sometimes questions can be more powerful than answers. And that's a question which just jumped out at me. Who am I to judge my neighbor? It's a challenge, you know, being around people now and not to judge them. We all at times love to feel self-righteous. We all at times feel that we've got permission to judge people and maybe to share about how bad somebody is. But I'm really challenged by Eugene Peterson, who wrote a translation of the Bible, a paraphrase, and he says this. He translated these verses. He said, don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule that takes a beating in this kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. God is in charge of deciding human destiny. Who are you to think you are able to meddle in the destiny of others? You know, as Christians, sometimes it can be really, really challenging, especially when someone else has really wound you up to stay honorable, especially other Christians. You know, but we're called not to lump verbal, not to take verbal lumps out of each other. But we're called to love other Christians and to behave honorably in front of him, in front of them. And there's a real temptation sometimes when someone has done something to really, really irritate you, is to slander them and to speak badly about them, to make sure everybody else knows what that person has done. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? No, not at all. Okay. The Greek word here that's used for slander, that I forgot on the screen, is, I'm rubbish at speaking Greek, okay, here. So it's katalolia. And William Barclay, who's a very clever theologian, he says this is a better description of this word. He says katalonia is the sin of those who meet in corners and gather in little groups to pass on confidential information and to destroy the good name of those who are not there to defend themselves. That changes it a little bit, doesn't it? Because I thought to myself, you know, I'm pretty good at not slandering people. I don't go around, oh, that person's the worst person in the world, blah, blah, blah. I try not to do that. But I wonder how many times, and maybe if I sat around a table and someone's brought something up about someone and I've just allowed it to continue. How many times maybe in a small group, just a few of us just discussing and someone comes up and you know about that person? Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. That's really bad, isn't it? And you sit and you start talking and it goes beyond just gossip to actually ruining someone's name. It's so easy to do, isn't it? And it's such a thing that's in our human nature. You know, we talk about slander, and slander is something that's come up quite a lot. I love using Twitter. I gave up Facebook this year, and I seem to have replaced it with Twitter, so I might have to give up Twitter again, okay? But on Twitter, there is so many times when somebody has put something onto Twitter. If you don't know what Twitter is, welcome to the 21st century. Okay, find out about it, Google it. But there's so many times people have written something in anger about someone and destroyed someone's name. When there was that controversy about that BBC presenter a few months ago, people were making accusations about who that was and bringing disrepute to people's names. And people were being accused of slander over and over again. And sometimes we think that's slander, but we don't realize that just talking in a group about somebody and being bad-mouthing them when no one else is looking, that's also slander. And James says here, listen, guys. He says, when you as a church, if you try that, or if you as individual Christians try and do that, then you're making the gospel of Jesus look really bad. Because instead of reaching out and building bridges and building unity, you're building disunity. But even worse than that, you are putting yourself in the place of God and judging other people. I don't know about you, but I don't want anyone else to sit in God's place and judge me. You know, you guys, you'll be really relieved that I am not God, okay, and I'm not judging. I'm relieved, some of you, I know your political views. I'm really glad you're not God as well, okay, and judging. Because James goes on here and he says, you're going against God's law here. You're taking God's place as a judge. Now, there's places of accountability as Christians. We need to challenge each other. That's clear in the Bible. But there's a difference between challenging somebody and slandering somebody. Slander is sitting in judgment of a person. Challenge is trying to help someone become more like Jesus. Slander is done behind someone's back and evil. Challenge is done by talking to the person in love. James is clear here. When you sit in judgment of another person, you are bringing judgment onto yourself. And it's God's job to judge, not ours. And I find that really liberating. I find it amazing that I don't have to be the person who has to judge people, because I'm Jim Lowe, who's got a very biased perception of the world. You've all also got biased perceptions of the world. But the only one who is worthy of judging other people is God, because God created the world. He sees the big picture. He sees what's going on when no one else sees what's going on. He sees the journeys that people have gone through. He sees the situations that people have gone through. He's the one who I want to judge, not me. The judge who gave of himself to come to earth to be sacrificed in our place. He's the guy who I want to judge me, not other people. The Bible said he's gracious, he's fair, and he's compassionate. When I look at this in James, with James unpacking this, I'm challenged. Because I think to myself, who am I, Jim Lowe, to judge my neighbor? Who am I to judge my friends and to slander them? Who am I to judge my boss and to slander her? Who am I to judge my children's teachers and slander them? Who am I to judge the guy behind the wheel who's just cut me up and slander him? Who am I to judge other Christians and to slander them? It's not my job. It's God's job. Is that fair enough? But it's a challenge for us, isn't it? To do this. And the question I ask to myself is, how can I do this differently? How can we as a church be different and make sure that we shine out differently? What can we do to help bring deal with people, to bring honor to God's name? And the first thing, here we go, jump forward here. First thing is this, is to stop. Can we say it together? Stop. Some of you are shouting at me now, stop preaching, Pastor. I'm going to go home. Here we go. Before speaking, stop and reflect. Is it me? Do I need to deal with this privately first? Or do I need to speak out and say this? You know, I think if a lot of us thought of this question before we start speaking about people, then actually the world would be a lot better place, wouldn't it? Not to react in anger. You know, James chapter 1, verse 19, it's a famous verse there. And it says this, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Do you know the way a lot of the times we do it? We interpret this verse as this, everyone should be slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry. So many times we do this. And James here reflect, I just think James has given us such good advice here. Reflecting does two things. It helps you to evaluate whether something needs to be said. And it also means that you don't say something stupid. My poor wife has to live with me, okay? And there's so many times, I think she wants to go, Jim, just calm down. Don't say that. That's just a stupid thing to say. Especially when I was younger. When I was at Bible college, I remember one friend coming up to me and saying, Jim, do you know there's a filter between your mouth and your brain, okay? And sometimes you need to activate that filter. I've slowly learned to do it, slowly. I'm getting better. But it's important. Slow to speak and quick to listen. It gives us a rather chance to evaluate, am I right in expressing my opinion? What should I do next? There's been so many times when I've wanted to slander somebody because they've really irritated me. They've really hurt me. And there's times I've done it. And I felt really bad after I've done it. And I'm learning slowly now, and I'm getting better at it. Actually, there's certain times you have to talk about situations. That's different, providing it's not deliberately trying to slander them. But sometimes you've got to stop. You've got to swallow your pride. And you've got to be slow to act. And give God, ask God for wisdom. You know, we've all got blind spots. We've all got weaknesses. We can all live in our own echo chamber. And sometimes we just need to slow down. Speak to some wise Christians. And guys, I want to challenge you here that speak to people who aren't just going to say exactly what you want to hear. You can walk up to people and you can say to them, do you know what that person did? They were this and this. And at the end of it, you go, I'm right in thinking that, aren't I? And then your mates see how angry you are. Your mate's too frightened to tell you the truth. So they go, yeah, it's okay. I agree with you. You don't want to go to those sort of people. You want to go to someone who can challenge you and who can say, you know what, Jim? Whoa, I think you're a bit out of order there. And when you want to get advice, ask open questions, not closed questions. Maybe explain the situation to a trusted Christian or a trusted friend and say, what do you think about it? Rather than, I'm right, aren't I? It just gives a slightly different perspective. So the first thing we need to do is we need to stop. The next thing we need to do is we need to think. Can we all say think together? Think. Some of us, this is really hard, especially men. Okay. But if you open your mouth and say something to someone, I want you to ask this question. And you might have seen this before. It's gone around quite a lot. Reinventing the wheel here. Number one, is what I'm about to share about someone, is it true? Sounds really silly, but sometimes we know it's not fully true. And we're like, we're extending the truth. You've all heard the fisherman who caught the fish that big. Okay, then the next time it's that big. And the next time it's that big. And you go back and you discover, actually, no, it wasn't. It was that big. Okay, is it true? Big, important question. Is it helpful? Is what you're going to say going to help the situation? Or is it going to pour fuel onto the fire? You may feel better because you've got revenge on someone else who's upset you, but it might exacerbate the situation a lot afterwards. Is it inspiring? Telling people about someone else's mistake to make them look bad, that's not inspiring, is it? Talking about someone's a failure that went and you all had a good fun and someone learned from it and grew from it, that's inspiring. But trying to shame someone, that's not inspiring. Is it necessary? I'd actually go as far as to say, if you're deliberately trying to badmouth someone and slander someone, even if they've really upset you, it's not necessary. It is really not. And the final thing, is it kind? Running someone down is not kind, even if they've not been kind to you. And it's a challenge that before we speak, to think. Now, I just want to put a caveat out here. I am still working on this, okay? So if I don't put this into place, please don't quote the sermon back at me, okay? I'm still doing it, but it's a real challenge sometimes for us to stop and to think. But what happens after we've stopped and we've thought, what's the next step to go to? The next step is to act appropriately. Can we say this together? Act appropriately. Okay. I once had a disagreement once I dealt with in a church ages ago. And someone went, if you go and do this, I'm going to plant drugs in your house and going to ring the police and you're going to get arrested. I said to the person that did it, I went, do you think that's an appropriate way of asking? Of acting? He went, no. There's appropriate ways of doing things. After you've stopped and thought, you might need to speak to someone about what's happened. And when you go and speak to someone about what's happened, Jesus has some incredible advice for us. Here we go. Flick. Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. It says this. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their faults just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they will not listen to you, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. They still refuse to listen, tell the church. And if they refuse to listen to even the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. You know, it's really tempting, as I say, when someone's upset you to go and tell everyone else about it. Do you know what they did? It's especially in the generation now we live in with Facebook. I've seen so many more family arguments where people have put it on Facebook before they've actually told the person. I'm sure you've never done that at all. But Jesus is very clear. Talk to them before you talk to anyone else. The problem is, we have this, but it's a little bit simplistic because we don't actually find it easy to talk to other people. But I know if I've upset someone, I would prefer them to come and talk to me rather than talk about me. Is everyone else the same? You might not be. Don't worry if you're not. I would love them to come and chat to me and actually have a conversation. I may not like what they say. I may not agree with what they say, but I prefer them to come to me first. And this is really hard to do sometimes. Because sometimes we feel insecure and we feel, oh, I can't really talk to them because they're really angry about it. But I just want to say something to us now. Jesus doesn't call us to take the easy option. Jesus calls us to take the correct option in life. And sometimes we can go down the easy option by talking about people when we should be talking to them first. And after you've spoken to them, that's when Jesus says, start bringing in others. And finally, he says, bring it into the church. Now, I want to confirm, what this means is not, do you know what this, standing up in the pulpit here and borrowing the mic, Pastor, can I have a word? Can I have the microphone? Do you know what that person did to me last week? It's not doing that. It's about trying to resolve a situation. And it's still unresolvable. It says here to treat those people like they're not Christians. Do you know how you treat someone who's not a Christian? You treat them with love, dignity, and respect. And you don't slander them. Is that fair enough? It's a challenge for us. You need to act appropriately. You need to speak to somebody. You need to do this. And if you really struggle alone, I'm sure take someone with you to have the conversations. You know, love doesn't put it on Facebook or WhatsApp. Love doesn't slander. You know, if we want to find God's direction in our lives, we need to start by listening to God's guidance. If you're struggling with someone in church right now and you don't know what to do, I want to encourage you to start putting this into practice. If you're struggling with someone at work and you don't know what to do, I want to encourage you to start putting this into practice. If you're struggling with someone in your family and you're not sure what to do, I want to encourage you to start putting this into practice. Don't slander them. Don't go talking about them behind their back. But try and act appropriately in the way that Christ has called you to act appropriately. Because if you do not, you bring the name of Jesus into disrepute. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to be salt and light in the world and supposed to be different. And this is a challenge for us to be different, to live differently. And I believe if we start putting this into place, we'll start having conversations where we realize that we maybe misunderstood each other. You may have misunderstood your boss. You may have misunderstood the pastor. You may have misunderstood your driving instructor. It could be anything. And actually, stuff could be resolved before it becomes a lot worse. So I want to encourage you with this question at the finish here. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Who am I to judge my neighbor? Next time when you're really angry because that person has really messed you about in their work again, and you just think, I don't know what you're thinking, you're so angry. Think to yourself, who am I to judge that person? Something I did not long ago is I started doing stuff differently when I got really angry with people. And I said, I used to start praying this prayer. I said, God, please give me wisdom, number one. And please give me insight to their situation. And there was times when, you know when you're by yourself and you're just going through your head and you're getting really angry. I have that occasionally, just very occasionally. And there's one incident once I was walking, I got so angry about someone. Oh, so fuming. Like physically, you know, you're wound up and your whole body and the stress hormones, everything else is going through your body and you're getting like, you feel your muscles ready for a fight. And I said, God, please help me to understand their situation. In that moment, doesn't always happen like this. God gave me insight. I saw things from a different perspective from their perspective. The difference was incredible. I still was angry with them, but I had some compassion and mercy for them at the same time. There's been other situations where I prayed, God, give me insight. And I've shared with Naomi, who's very wise, I really mean that. And we've looked at something from a different perspective, and she's seen something different that I haven't seen. And we're like, wow, I didn't see that in that situation. And it meant I went in with love and compassion. Even though I was still hurt and angry, God brought a resolution, or helped me be more controlled, let's put it that way. But guys, God wants to help us. But we've got to start by making a choice that when someone really winds us up, we're not going to slander them. Slander doesn't mean writing it all over Facebook or Twitter. Slander means having a conversation about someone when they're not there to defend themselves. Around your friendship table, in a small group, around the dinner table, it could be anywhere. It's not doing that. Why? Because who have you got the right to judge? Let's pray. Can we stand together? Stretch our legs for a moment, if you're able. Maybe just close your eyes for a moment. Just focus on God. Maybe as I spoke those words, maybe God just pierced your heart. Maybe you've not been dealing with a situation the same way that you know you kind of should have been dealing with it. Maybe you didn't. I don't think anyone sets out to slander people. But maybe you have. It could be a colleague, it could be a family member, it could be a friend, it could be someone else in the church, someone at your sports club. And if you've done that, you know, the amazing thing about Christianity is there's forgiveness from God. But Jesus says, you know, come to me and I will forgive you. And if that's you, it's just a chance to, it's an old-fashioned word called repent. And repent means to say sorry, but to make a decision to turn the opposite way and not to do it again. And if you've done that, I just want to encourage you just for a moment just to repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. For some of you, maybe there's a situation going on in your life right now, and you need to hear these words today. Someone's really hurt you. It's damaged your pride. You're getting really angry about it right now. Even just the thought of it right now, you know that I'm talking about. Your muscles getting tense, and you're, oh. Maybe you'd really tempted just to tell everyone exactly what that person's like. I want to encourage you just now, just to say, God, please help me to stop, to think, and to act appropriately. Maybe a chance for you and God right now, say, God, please, give me the wisdom that I need right now. Give me the insights that I need right now. Some of you might have been struggling with it for quite a while. Maybe something that's really holding on to you. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into the service right now. We know you're here, Lord, but we just pray we feel your tangible presence. Lord, I just pray right now for each person who is struggling with relationships and how to deal with things. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would start dropping wisdom into their hearts. You would start dropping insight into their hearts. We pray that right now. Lord, where there's some people maybe struggling with self-control, Lord, I pray that you'd start strengthening their self-control, Lord. You'd start helping them to make the right decision, Lord. We pray that right now, Jesus. Lord, as a church, as individuals, Lord, we apologize if there's ever been, if there's been times, not if there, Lord, but when there's been times, and maybe we've slandered people and we've not intended to slander people, where we brought your name into disrepute by the way that we've behaved. Lord, we say sorry. And Lord, we say, please, can you help us in the future? And the last thing I want to do just before we worship God, I want to just pray one more prayer. And I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you want the forgiveness that comes from Jesus, that hope of Jesus who died on a cross for us to make a way to heaven for us. Maybe you're saying, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to have peace in my life. I want to have the hope that there is to knowing that I'm forgiven, of knowing that I have a hope of a God who is with me through every circumstance, even though I mess up, that there's second chances. And I want to choose to follow Jesus today. If that's you, we're going to pray a prayer together. I'm going to invite those of you who follow Jesus to pray this prayer with me. I want you to pray this prayer with me now. And this is a prayer of inviting Jesus into your life. It's a prayer of becoming a Christian. Simple words, but it's powerful words that are life transforming. I want us just to pray this prayer together. Let's pray it. Lord Jesus, I admit that I have done wrong and that I'm sorry. Please forgive me for all my mistakes. I truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave his life on the cross to forgive my sins. I offer my life to you and invite you into my heart so that you can be, so I can be with you forever. Amen. And if you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, we want to have a chat with you afterwards. It's nothing bad. We want to give you just a small gift that just helps you to explain what it means to follow Jesus. Because I tell you what, when you follow Jesus, it is life transforming. Amen. Amen. Hand back over to Chima. Thank you, Chima.